Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Been a good week, busy week, everything in action. ARCA, Indy, NHRA, all three NASCAR series at two different tracks. Where do I begin? Well, it's a good place to think about it. We started ARCA, or Indy or NHRA? Good question. Let's start with, well, we'll keep all the Pocono races together. That's ARCA, the truck, and the Cup Series. So we'll head down towards Indy. And touch base on what happened there. Out at Mid-Ohio for the NTT IndyCar Series event, 2.258 mile Mid-Ohio road course. Of course, the Road America in Wisconsin is a long one. It's like 4 miles, so they're probably only do half the laps. But anyway, 90-lap event. Excuse me, the background sound. I'm trying to extend my microphone. This way I can get on top of it. You can all hear me a little clearer. Anyway, Scotty Dixon gets back in victory lane. Felix Rosenquist came home second. Ryan Hunter-Reay in third. Will Power started from the pole. In fourth, Alexander Rossi in fifth. Simon Pagenaud, sixth. Spencer Pigott. I've got to get a pronunciation on that one. The seventh, Colton Herta was eighth. Graham Rahal, ninth. A couple racers now, he's in the top ten. And Jack Harvey rounds out the top ten. Anybody we know? Been a rough year for Marco Andretti. He was 15th. Joseph Newgarden, he was 14th. These guys are usually in the upper echelon. Takuma Sato, Hinchcliffe, 22nd. 3 laps down. Average speed for the winner, 115 mile an hour. Race was an hour and 45 minutes and 16 seconds long, almost 16 seconds. 15.697. Margin of victory, 0.093. That is a close finish for IndyCar. Usually they're 3, 4, 5 seconds long. No cautions, clean race. 4 lead changes. Seven lead changes amongst 4 drivers. The points as they stand after the completion of this one. Joseph Newgarden leads Alexander Rossi. Pagenaud is third. Scotty Dixon with the win is in fourth. Will Power in fifth. Ryan Hunter-Reay in sixth. Takuma Sato seventh. Graham Rahal in eighth. Felix Rosenquist ninth. And James Hinchcliffe 10th. Need to do more Honda commercials. But IndyCar. Next event, find out. Interwebs are slow down here. Either that or it's my computer. Anyway, off until the middle of August when they go to the ABC Supply 500. And that'll be in waiting for that one to pop up. At least they used to send you a schedule. I download it and just go click. Okay, go there. Here we go. We all have it all drawn out. Pocono Raceway, the Tricky Triangle. Wow, it's been a while since they were there. They'll be on NBC Sportsnet, Comcast. August the 18th at Pocono. Good to get another race back. And this time it's a 500-miler, I think. According to that, 500 usually means 500 miles, so you know it's only 200 laps. I used to go there. I watched Mario Andretti win the only race he ever won at Pocono. Seemed like everybody that was catching him had problems, and he wound up taking the victory. Of course, he's from his home track was Nazareth, which they shut down. And I went to Nazareth to their last race ever for IndyCar, and which is near the Xfinity Series. It was a nice little one-mile track. Tucked in the middle of nowhere. And then they shut it down, moved grandstands to other NASCAR tracks where they had bigger events. Of course, originally that was a Roger Penske track. Roger Penske out of Reading, Pennsylvania, decided to put a nice little track at Nazareth. You get off the Allentown exit and shoot west and run you out there. Anybody that's from the area knows what I'm talking about. So, Pocono back on the IndyCar schedule. It's good to see for that area up there. I mean, it's nice up there. A lot of tourists, but just the way it is. Anyway, so IndyCar in action in about 3 weeks. Check the calendar. Just be safe. This is the first weekend. All right, it's not coming up. Trying to be, I can check it on my, oh, here we go. The computer. Anybody that has Windows 10 and got an update because it won't be serviced. And did it, it slowed everything down. Especially if you have one like an HP Pavilion that originally came with Windows 8 and went 8 plus or whatever it was, and then 10. Now it's slower than a turtle crossing the road. But yep, 3 weeks. This weekend will be the 3rd, the 10th, the weekend after, the 17th, well, the 18th, the weekend of the 18th. Will be then, so. Let's head to the NHRA out at Sonoma. Yes, they have a drag strip there. It's not only a road course. Top Fuel. Billy Torrance. Clay Milliken in the final. Usually it's Steve Torrance. He's been kicking some butt in the Top Fuel division. But Clay Milliken, the number one qualifier. His trip through the finals. Nobody in round one. Facing former champ and eighth round qualifier, Brittany Force in round two. He was way off the light quicker, 0.07 to her 0.11, 0.04 of a second difference. 383 was the ET, and 407 for Brittany. Wasn't enough to get it done. get little tire issues there. You got to pedal it a bit. Then up against Antron Brown. Antron got him off the light with an 047 to an 075, but down the track it was a 385. Antron's 393. When you're looking at a whole tenth of a second versus a few hundredths that you gain off the tree, goodbye, Felicia. Billy Torrance, on the other hand, he was the number three qualifier. Took on 14th place Steve Farrier, 089 to 096 off for Billy's favor, 375 to a 661 for Billy. Billy in a rocket ship this weekend. Then facing Austin Brock in round two, Austin 062, Billy 084. Austin gets him off the tree, but Billy's 383 to Austin's 467. Was not enough. Of course, Austin was a number six qualifier, and he went up against Leah Pritchett in round one. They had identical ETs. The difference? Austin, 1/100th of a second quicker off the tree was enough to get him the win light. He had an 061. She had an 074. If you want to make it sound even more minute, it's 13/1000th of a second. But anyway, that's at the stage for the semis. Billy Torrance against defending champ and recent race winner and his son. That's right, they drive for the same team. Steve Torrance. Steve, 085. Billy, 087, off the light. Steve a little quicker, but down the track where it all counts. Good time for Steve Torrance, 382 with a 2, but Billy in them 37s again, 377 with a 9. Spanks his boy. And sets the stage for the big final. Clay Milliken, 067. The Billy Torrance's, 099. 3/100th of a second quicker off the light. But down the track, it was a 384 with a 2 for Milliken. The 3/100th was eaten up. Was Billy Torrance had a 380 with a 4. Got him on the ET by 1/100th of a second. I mean, it says 4/100ths, but the time difference off the light to the time difference down the track, if you whittle it down. Gave it to Barnes. Low ET, believe it or not. Brittany Force in round one. .371 with an 8. Top speed, Brittany Force, 335.15 miles an hour. On the funny car. Finals come down to Robert Height and Matt Hagen. Matt Hagen from Christiansburg, Virginia, which is about 70 miles from where I'm at. And Robert Height, number one qualifier, one of the John Force Racing members, the only two driving funny car this year, because Courtney stepped out of it. Austin Prock stepped in and went to Top Fuel, so We have two JFR drivers in top fuel and two in funny car. Robert Hight, the number one qualifier. Took on Blake Alexander in round two, because he faced nobody in round one, so it was only 15 vehicles made the event. 075 for 00 for Height, 116, 405 for Alexander, not close either way. Up against Tommy Johnson Jr. in round two, actually the semis. 048 for Height, Tommy's 047, but down the track, the 3/100th quicker ET for Height's 4011 to Tommy J's 404, pushed him into the finals. Matt Hagen, on the other hand, number six qualifier up against J.R. Todd. Todd had a good run going, but Hagen 068 to J.R. Todd's 122 off the tree. 6/100ths quicker there, and then Hagen with a 395 to Todd's 444. Wasn't even close. Then up against Fast Jack Beckman in round two. Beckman 078, Hagen. .101. We're looking at 3/100ths quicker for Beckman off the tree, but 3.99 with a 5 for Beckman down the track, and a 3.92 with a 4 for Hagen. So you're looking at 7/100ths difference there. And that made up the ground and put Hagen in the win late against John Force in the semis. Hagen with an 0.93. 3.96 with a 2. John Force did not get off the line. So that staved off a John Force Racing final. So in the end, it was Robert Height, 052 off the tree. Matt Hagen, 061. .397 for Height, .403 for Hagen. Give that one to Height handily, even though numbers sound close. John Force had the low ET with a 3.91. Best reaction time with an 0.30. Top speed with a 3.27 mile an hour. And that all. The top speed in the ET was in the opening round against Wilkerson, and then the 0.30 was in the second round against Sean Langdon. On to the pro stock. Finals came down to Alex Lachlan and Greg Anderson. Lachlan, the number one qualifier, up against number 16, Val Smellen. It's good to see pro stock in action. 094 to 049, but a 655 to a 661 gave Lachlan the win late. Up in round two against Erica Enders, 061 to her 014. I believe he won that one. You're looking at 5/100ths there, and here's where it cost her down the track. 057 to her 657 to her 665. Did not get the traction and grip she wanted, and moved Lachlan in semifinals against Bo Butner. 062 Butner. Red light 009 at the minus. 661 to 663. It was close on the ET, but the red light quells all that. Greg Anderson, on the other hand, up against Kenny Delco, 657 to 659, plus 0-1 off the tree quicker. Jed Coughlin did not advance. So he made it to the second round, didn't take the light. And then up against teammate Jason Lyon in the semis. 0-64 off the light, 0-22 for Anderson. 6-59 to Anderson, 6-62. That difference was made up by Anderson off the light. Called a hole shot, and it was up against Lachlan. Lachlan 0-70, Anderson 0-76 off the light, but Lachlan with a 7-20. Was 6/10 slower than Anderson with a 6/60, and that gave Anderson the win. Lachlan the runner-up. Derek Kramer, low ET, 6:55. Best reaction, Jed Coughlin, 0:13, and top speed, Greg Anderson. Pro stock motorcycle. If they did run, Andrew Hines up against Matt Smith. Hines taking it, Smith. Number two, ET was Hines, 6:79. Katie Sullivan, 0:15 on the reaction. Good for her. And top speed, Jerry Savoie. Did they run ProMod? Playing ProMod? No ProMod. All right, let's check the standings. Steve Torrance, only one locked in. Clay Milliken, second. Antron Brown, third. Brittany Forrest, fourth. Doug Kalita, fifth. Mike Salinas, sixth. Leah Pritchett, seventh. Richie Crampton, eighth. Terry McMillan, ninth. Austin Prock, tenth. McMillan and Prock tied. And Scott Palmer, 11th, is 7 points back. 6 points back, 6:35 to 6:41, so that's close. On to the funny car. Robert Height still holds a points lead. Tommy Johnson Jr. second. Both of them are now locked in. Johnson making it this week. John Forson third. Jack Beckman fourth. Ronnie Capps fifth. Bob Tasca sixth. J.R. Todd seventh. Eighth, Matt Hagen. Ninth, Sean Langdon. And tenth, Tim Wilkerson. Tasca climbed a lot. He was near the bubble line, and now he's up to sixth, so he's having a pretty good run. Pro stock. Let's see who's doing what there. Bo Butner locked in. Greg Anderson second. Jason Lachlan third. Jason Lyon fourth. Matt Hartford fifth. Derek Kramer sixth. Jack Coughlin seventh. Eric Enders eighth. Chris McGahey ninth. Roger Brogdon in the 10th spot. Kenny Delco in 11th. He is 21 points out. He might be able to make it. Hard to say. Pro stock motorcycle. Let me guess. Andrew Hines and Eddie Krawick, 1 and 2, locked in. Matt Smith locked in at 3. Hector Arana Jr. locked in at 4th. And it's Karen Stopher, Angie Smith, Ryan Oler in 7th. Hector Sr. 8th. Angel Sampe 9th. Scotty Polachek. Jerry Savoie 10th. There you have it. There's your standings for your top four divisions in NHRA. On the Pocono. We'll start with the ARCA series. Let me get that back. I know we've had a lot of rain ever since then. The internet, or it's my computer, is running really slow. Christian X takes the win. Number 15, he started second. Todd Gilliland was third. Second. Started first, so first and second flip-flop positions in the finish. Michael Self was third. Corey Hain, fourth. Raphael Lessard, fifth. Austin Wayne Self, sixth. Brett Holmes, seventh. Chandler Smith, eighth. Ninth, Travis Braden. And Joe Graff Jr. is 10th. Bobby Gearhart's 12th. He's still running. Gotta be my age or older. 20 cars in the event. ...150-mile-long race. Total of 60 laps at the Tricky Triangle. It always used to be ARCA opening on Saturday, Cup Series on Sunday, but this year they added the trucks. Well, then they had the trucks in ARCA. And last time I think they had the truck, they had Xfinity in ARCA. So they added a couple of races to Pocono Raceway. Now, next year, the Cup Series is going to be Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be 4 days of racing. They're going to have ARCA, and then one, they're going to have, I think, the Truck Series on Saturday after the Cup race, and then Xfinity. Yeah. We'll get to that next year. Kind of weird. And their next event will be the Allen Crow 100 at the Illinois State Fairgrounds. That looks like a dirt track. ARCA does run a couple of dirt tracks, so and that'll be on the 18th. So they're off for a few weeks, 3 to be exact, and they'll be out in the Illinois State Fairground. Indy will be at Pocono. You can catch that one on MAV TV. Should you choose to watch, that will be on a Sunday. So, alrighty, go for the main event of the weekend. Let's go out to Iowa first. Xfinity Series in action. Track owned by Rusty Wallace. I did see Rusty Wallace Racing Experience. Truck and trailer yesterday. I wonder where they were headed. Oh, we'll find out. Was Rusty really? None of the Wallace brothers drive. Bubba Wallace is not one of Rusty's family. He does live near here, but Rusty's from Missouri. But anyway, the U.S. Cellular 250. At Iowa Speedway, that looks like a nice little track, 5/8 of a mile. Not exciting racing. Everybody goes there, except the Cup Series. They're the only ones that don't go there. Indy goes there, trucks go there, Xfinity goes there. I think ARCA goes there. I could be wrong. The Chase Briscoe takes the checkered flag. Led one time for 7 laps. Won no stages. Doyle gets 5 playoff points. Christopher Bell took second. Won both stages. Led 4 times for 234 of the 250 laps. guess what? Doesn't always get you to win. Ask Kyle Busch. They drove both drive for Gibbs, so Christopher Bell is a talented dude, so you got to watch for him coming up. John Hunter Nemechek was third. Noah Gragson was fourth. Tyler Reddick was fifth. Justin Allgaier, sixth. Shane Lee, seventh. Justin Haley, eighth. Rookie this year. Zane Smith, ninth. And Michael Annette rounds out the top 10. Race took 2 hours, 28 minutes, 0 seconds. Average speed, 88.862 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 1.0 seconds. 8 lead changes amongst 5 drivers, and there was a few of those, especially with Christopher Bell leading 234 out of 250 laps. I mean, Jeremy Clements led a lap. That was obviously on pit stops. 8 cautions for 58 laps. 2 stage. So there's only 6 for 43 laps for incidents. It was Briscoe's second victory in 36 races. Xfinity Series races, his first this year, and his first victory in third top 10 at Iowa. Go to the points, Tyler Reddick, 3 wins, leads the points, Christopher Bell second, 5 wins, Cole Custer third, 5 wins, there's your big batch there, Cole Custer and Chase Briscoe are teammates, so they have Allgaier, 5, fourth, Austin Cindric, 5th, Noah Gragson, 6th, with no wins. Chase Briscoe, 7th, Michael Annette, 8th, each have 1 win. They'll get bumped up the seeding. And then John Hunter Nemechek, Ryan Sieg. Justin Haley, John Hunter Nemechek, Ryan Sieg, and Brandon Jones will round out your playoff berth. And the closest one below the bubble is Gray Goulding. He's 101 points back at the don't think I'm going to make that up. So you're pretty much their playoffs are there. Let's hear from our winner. Chase Briscoe with his crew chief.
I can have your attention here in the media. Now joined by the winning team. They love it. They go to USW. They're tied with the team by a driver, Chase Briscoe. Driver, I gave 4 for Austin. Yeah, that's an increase. Boswell, Chase. Wow, what an incredible finish. How fun was it out there at close to last year?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We were definitely racing really hard. That was a decent thing. Not as good as it gets, but it was really fun. It, you know, even running, battling with Christopher, you know, it took me back to, I mean, we've been racing online against each other for probably 10 years, and we used to run Iowa all the time in the Xfinity car and have battles like that, so it was pretty fun to go back and do that and do it for real this time.
And Richard, please walk us through the race from your perspective, because it did seem like tires been picked up from there.
Yeah. Somebody asked earlier why we made the call of that car. Start of the season. That unfortunately was stupid, but I just felt like 99 laps to go was too early to put our last bet on. Now it was a gamble. I probably had a second place car all day to Christopher and stuff away being there. I knew as soon as those guys said they were going to pick 4 tires that was not going to be for us. In the race, be here.
Okay, we're going to open the floor for questions. If you have a question, get a wireless mic to you. Sort of baby.
We're back.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely just worried because our car definitely changed a lot when we got back there. A lot of those guys had new tires. We were battling those three or four guys that were on the same strategy as us, and I knew we probably needed to be ahead of them before the caution came out. My biggest thing is I didn't know where Bell was. I knew if we went a lap down, our strategy was out the window anyways. So I felt like I was losing a lot of time trying to race those guys. And, you know, the top got where it was so fast around there. And I felt like my balance changed a little bit. Like you said, I was getting tight behind guys, and I just couldn't make moves like I could early in the race when I was up front. So I was definitely getting worried. When the caution came out, I knew we were going to be in pretty good shape. The first restart, I got a terrible restart. The guy in front of me didn't go and wanted to, and I think I came out fourth out of the five guys that had tires, and I was starting to panic a little bit. And then when the caution came out, when I was running fourth, I didn't know that I was going to win, but I knew I was in the best position then out of everybody other than Bell. So I knew I just had to take advantage of it. Me and John Hunter, I think both knew whoever got to Bell first was the only guy that was going to have a chance to win, and we both raced each other super hard trying to be that guy, and, you know, we just came out on the right end of it.
There you have Chase Briscoe. Truck Series at Pocono. For the Saturday event. Lap race out at Long Pond, 150 miles. Ross Chastain take the checkered flag. Win stage one. Not even in the top 10 for stage two, but led twice for 54 laps, gets 6 playoff points. Tyler Ankrum takes second. Harrison Burton was third. Christian X was fourth. Brett Moffitt, fifth. Matt Crafton, sixth. Todd Gilliland, seventh. Johnny Sauter, eighth. Ben Rhodes, ninth. And Grant Enfinger rounds out your top 10. Natalie Decker in the race finished 16th, good for her considering she's a rookie. Jennifer Jo Cobb, 21st. 32 vehicles in. I was looking for Haley Deegan, but she wasn't at that one. So two ladies in the event, Natalie and Jennifer Jo. Jennifer Jo's been she was just in Russia. She's bouncing all over the place. Good for her. She's a team owner as well, so she's a busy lady. Hour, 12 minutes, 27 seconds was the time of the race. Average speed, 124.24. Margin of victory, 1.007 seconds. Three places there. I would have just called it 1 second. With the win, it was Chastain's third in 73 Truck Series races, his third victory in 13 top tens this year, and it's his first ever at Pocono. There were three lead changes amongst two drivers. Ross Chastain led all but six. Harrison Burton led the other six. Four cautions for 12 laps, both of those from on lap two and on lap seven, which just went green after lap two because it went green on lap six and another caution on lap seven. So other than that, it was a clean finale. Grant Enfinger leads the points with no wins. Brett Moffitt second with two wins. Matt Crafton third with zero wins. Stuart Friesen fourth. Harrison Burton fifth. Ben Rhodes sixth. No wins. Todd Gilliland, seventh, no wins. And Austin Hill has one win, so he is actually going to be bumped up. And there's an 18-point difference there's a 20-point difference between 7th Gilliland and 9th Creed, where if the seating would be held, that'd be the gap that was Gilliland will be bumped down. So that would be Creed's next target if he couldn't win a race. So let's check on winner Ross Chastain. And here what he had. He has 3 wins. He's listed in the points, so he'll be bumped up too because he has 3 wins, unless he's not running for points there, which is kind of weird. You're not running for points in the truck series. Why do they have you in the points? I wouldn't even put him in there, but I guess they have to for whatever reason. Here's Ross.
Okay, we are with the winning team of today's 10th Annual Gander RV 150, and with us is General Manager of the Racing Cody Ifa, the Crew Chief Bill Gould, and the winning driver, Ross Chastain. Open it up to questions right now for our winning team. We'll start up here with Zach.
Dexter Neal, open right. Bill, I'll start with you. As one of only 3 teams to come to the road on lap 28 there before the end of stage 2. What was the mindset going into that, and how confident did you feel like going to
the race? Well, I mean, just track position is huge. You know, you get back to the pack, slows you down, and risk tearing your truck up. We knew after the first stage we had a truck good enough to win. And the way the cautions worked out, we got the stage win at the first stage. And it was kind of a no-brainer to me, and it all worked out.
Then, Ross, you said yesterday that qualifying is not the challenge for you guys. But you were almost concerned that you were too trimmed out. Didn't look like it hurt you at all during the race. Kind of dominated.
That thing has so much grip, man. It's incredible. They told me it was going to be fine, but just bad race car driver logic is that when it's that fast, it might not have enough grip. So, no, I mean, even when I felt like I was too free or too tight in the race, we were pulling away. So, pressing the attack all day. Just goes to show you don't listen to race car drivers all the time. They probably don't know what they're talking about. Me included.
Ross, Stan had the WBCS for. So earlier today, I saw that Tyler was starting. It was starting to gain on you just a little bit, and then I noticed you pulled away to him. What was the key to that pulling away from him at the end? That way, he was able to catch.
Yeah, it was key. I mean, our trucks just had so much pace, had so much lap time built into it, it just grip, speed. So yeah, we started that final stage and went as hard as we could and got a nice little lead, and then just wanted to start everything. You know, I mean, truck series known for late restarts, overtime, time and time again, right? So we wanted to, one, save fuel and save enough tires in case I needed to go hard at the end on a restart. And, you know, he got closer than I wanted to, for sure. But then with 12 or 13 to go, had some open track and just pushed hard again. Our team owner's motto is press the attack. That's what we all live by. And I just pushed hard, right? I just did whatever the truck would do. And it the lap time came right back. We gapped back out. And then we both started taking school. So it was fun. I mean, Tyler is, I'd say, like a lot like us, his group, where he couldn't start at the beginning of the year because he's too young. Then he had to miss races to the sponsorship. We're all fighting the sponsorship battle. And for me, like, I wouldn't want anybody else to run second, right? I don't want to lose anybody, but if I got to pick somebody to run second, like, he's such a great kid, a lot like me, owner on that deal. Like, what they're building over there is a lot like us. So, you know, it's cool to see new faces and team owners up front in the truck series because there's been a group that's had a stranglehold on it for years, and we're happy to be, you know, some of the ones doing it.
There you have Ross Chastain. I'm talking about Tyler Reddick as well, so... good to see that going on. Anyway, on to the Cup Series. The Bean event of the weekend. Somebody that's been waiting for a win, hadn't had one in quite a while. Denny Hamlin taking the checkered flag. Eric Jones coming home second. Martin Truex Jr. third. So you have three Joe Gibbs Toyotas. The only one that wasn't there was still in the top ten. We'll get to him in a little bit. William Byron is fourth. Kyle Larson was fifth. Kevin Harvick started from the pole. Finished sixth after his win last week. Daniel Hemric was seventh. Brad Kay was eighth. Kyle Busch started five. There's the other Gibbs Toyota I was talking about. Finished ninth. And rounding out the top ten, Ryan Blaney. We have two Penske Fords and four Gibbs Toyotas. Stuart Haas Ford. Daniel Hemric and Chevy. And the number eight, which used to be Dale Jr.'s old number, but stepmom wouldn't give it to him when he went over to Hendrick. William Byron, Hendricks, Kyle Larson, Ganassi. So teams are spread out in the top ten except for Gibbs' team, where they had all of that. Joey Logano was the only Penske Ford not in the top ten. He was 13th. Race took 2 hours, 59 minutes, and 22 seconds. 163 laps. Next year when they run the doubles, they'll be down to 300 miles. 350 miles at 150 laps. I think so. We'll get to that next year. Going to be confusing with the wind. It was Denny Hamlin's 34th in 491 Monster Energy Cup Series races, his third victory and 13th top 10 this year, and it's his 5th and 18th top 10 in 28 races at the Tricky Triangle. The points leader, well, there was 9 lead changes amongst 5 drivers, Kevin Harvick leading the most laps, 3 times for 62, Kyle Busch 3 times for 56, led the second most, and Denny Hamlin led twice for 32. The only other double digit was Eric Jones, and he led once for 10. Jimmy Johnson was the other one. He led once for 3 laps. Jimmy Johnson did win a stage. Jimmy having a tough year since the new crew chief come over, and Chad Knaus over William Byron, trying to grow him into a championship contender. Chad having won 7 with Jimmy Johnson. I never thought they would split them up, but who knows what happened. Chad got married. Jimmy's been married. Yeah, Chad got married to former Miss Sprint Cup Brooke Werner, who used to do the show just about every time I needed a Miss Sprint Cup. She would come on. So, hope she's doing well. Just had a kid. Anyway, Joey Logano leads the points, but he only has 2 wins. Kyle Busch is second with 4 wins. Harvick is third with 1 win. Denny Hamlin with 3 wins is fourth. That'll all get shuffled. Martin Truex is fifth. He's got 4 wins. They're your top 2 seeds right there, Kyle Busch and Truex. And then you'll get Hamlin with 3, and then Keselowski, who's in 6th with 3. There's going to be a point there. 7th is Kurt Busch. Chase Elliott is 8th. Both have wins. Aric Almirola, 9th. No wins. Ryan Blaney, 10th. No wins. Alex Bowman, 11th with 1 win. William Byron, 12th. No wins. And then you have Eric Jones, Kyle Larson, and Clint Bowyer, 13th, 14th, and 15th. No wins. Ryan Newman is at the edge of the bubble. No wins. Right below him, 12 points back, Jimmy Johnson. So that can be made up in one race. He'd have to finish 12 spots ahead. He'd have to take Newman out early and go on at least to win and get in the top 20. But that's where we stand right there. See if we can pick up our winner. Benny Hamlin with crew chief Chris Gabehart, and Joe Gibbs. Probably have the other two first and then Hamlin.
All right, we're going to get started with our post-race media availability. Today's Gander RV 400 here at Pocono Raceway. We are joined by the crew chief of our race-winning team, which is the number 11 FedEx Ground Toyota. Driven by Denny Hamlin, and our crew chief is Chris Gabehart. We will open up the questions for Chris. Please raise your hand, and we'll get a wireless mic to you. Start here with Zach, and then go to Scott.
Zach Stern, hello, Pocono Raceway. I'm Judge. Chris, could you have made it have that race gone green?
Yeah, I felt like we could. I felt like we were in a pretty good spot. You know, there's never enough insurance in those situations, obviously, but that's why I pushed Denny as hard as I could to get around the 19, get around the 20. I feel confident that once we could gain control of the race, we could kind of be as in control as anybody of whatever might come, a caution or a green light checker, because now we're the leader on the restart, those kind of things. So I just let him go and go get the lead, and as soon as he got out front, I pulled the reins on him and started doing some things.
We're also joined by the team owner, Joe Gibbs. Go ahead.
From the Scranton Times Tribune, Chris, on TV, it sounded like at one point as you were going into overtime, Denny wasn't too happy when you were telling him to kind of maybe save a little bit there in overtime. Just how do you kind of keep maybe him calm or, you know, in that situation? Because I'm sure the driver's instinct is to hit the gas, not to not to save him.
Yeah, I think he's just so anxious, like any driver would be. One of the things I'm most thankful for is I've been in his seat, not at this level, but you know, he's sitting in a 120-degree race car for hours on end in this hot suit, helmet, in this little cocoon, and he doesn't know what's going on. I mean, he has very limited information. He's just basically doing what he's told and kind of going off that. So it can be a lot of pressure because he doesn't see the big picture, and that's where trust comes in. And I think, you know, for better or worse, whether to win the race, he had to trust me in that situation, so he didn't have a choice. But I just think I'm really so thankful for that trust that we've been able to build together, and I think that's a big part of our success.
Kelly Sander, racer.com. So, Chris, do you make the call to run him like that if you don't have two wins in the bank? Like, do you keep him out there as long as he did, or do you play the race differently?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think Eric Jones's scenario is that spot, right? He's right there, equally as capable of winning. They're in a tick worse fuel position than we are, not by much, but they don't have any wins, and they're right there on the bubble, and there's a lot more factors they have to consider, and I think they did a great job of doing that. But in our case, I felt like we were close enough that I just kept him on offense, get the lead, and we'll worry about the fuel situation later, and hey, if we don't make it, we don't make it. We're going for the win. So, yes, I think that's a very good observation and one that I'm glad we don't have to worry about.
Well, my other observation was, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like you kind of took your time. You celebrated, but then took your time getting off the pit box and just packed everything up before making your way to victory lane. Is that normal for you, or were you just kind of taking a breath at that point?
No, I mean, I wasn't. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I wasn't nervous. I mean, I felt like we had done our best to make all the best decisions we could make, me and my entire team, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. So it wasn't a relief. Honestly, for me, it's about the win. I mean, it's about the win and watching my guys celebrate. That's what means the most to me. So me running down the victory lane or be the first guy here or there to do that, I don't want to say I don't care about it. I love it. I want to do it every weekend. But what's most important to me is watching my guys get to reap the rewards of their hard work. And so sitting there on top of that bit, pit box, watching Denny do the burnout, those guys run out on the wall and celebrate, and that's what it's about for me. I don't need any more time.
There you have crew chief Chris Gearhart, Gabehart, I mean. Well, coming up, all three series in action this coming weekend. First, we go to the truck series. Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eldora Dirt Race, the only dirt race the Truck Series goes to. And usually when they come out and test, they usually come out this way to Whiff County Speedway and test there. I know Ryan Hornaday did it a couple times and a few others. So they'll be on dirt on Thursday. Then Saturday and Sunday, Xfinity in the Cup Series. Now, if you want to watch the dirt race at Eldora, it's Fox Sports 1. It's always a fun race there, especially when they're on dirt. Fox Sports 1 there. And then this is the one that gets me. Saturday, you have Xfinity at the Glen on NBC, regular network. And then Sunday, you have the Go Bowling at the Glen for the Cup Series on NBC Sportsnet. I would think they'd flip those two around, but hey, Comcast makes the call there. And you wonder why maybe you can get more viewers for that one. Who knows? I don't make those decisions. But anyway, let's take our look. See who I'm going to pick for the Glen. Last year, Chase Elliott won the Glen. Martin Truex was second. Kyle Busch was third. Elliott led 52 laps out of the 90. Truex only led four, but he did win stage one. Elliott won stage two, so he got 6 points. Kyle Busch, who didn't win any stages and came in third, was the second biggest lap leader. Led four times for 31 laps. So, that being said, then you have a bunch of guys. Jimmy McMurray, who was seventh, didn't lead any laps, but he's not in the car this year. It's Kurt Busch in that car. Where was Kurt? Kurt was ninth, so going from Ford to Chevy. Anyway, I'll narrow it down and leave it to the three, top three. I picked Kyle Busch last week. You know what? I don't know if Chase Elliott could win it, but I think it's going to come down between Chase Elliott and, Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Busch. Marty wins road courses more often than you could imagine, and he hasn't been up there in a while, so I'll go with last year's second place finisher, Martin Truex Jr. So I hope you all enjoyed the show today. I'm Vinny, your host. Be back next Tuesday at noon for another episode of Garage Talk Live. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Good day and good racing. Bye now.